Welcome, Randy. Okay, the meeting shall come to order. Code administration intact. We're going to call the roll on members present. Hamid Bahadori. Herminio Gonzalez. Bill Dumbaugh. Peter Tagliarini. Ed Carson.
Here.
Randy Van.
Present.
John O'Connor.
Here.
Dick Brody. Nick DeAndrea. So based on our roll call, we have six present, so we do have a quorum. We have just a handful of modifications this morning, and I'll turn it over to Jeff to go over procedures.
Thank you, George. Welcome, folks. Great. Our process, as approved by the commission, is I'll be serving as the moderator. In general, we ask, of course, one person speaks at a time. The proponent will come up and give their explanation and rationale for their proposed amendment. I'll ask if anybody else wants to speak in favor of it. I'll ask if anybody wants to speak after that, anybody wants to speak against it. And I'll ask if the proponent wants one opportunity, collectively, to rebut. And then the opponents will be given also one opportunity collectively, not an opportunity each. You decide amongst yourself who the spokesperson will be, and that one person, you'll get that side gets one chance to make their rebuttal. Then we'll close it to public, come back to the TAC. If there's a second, then we'll proceed to discuss and vote. If there's no second, the motion will die, it will fail for lack of a second. And I'll explain that in a second. No pun intended. We will have a standing motion to approve in place, which I'll review in a moment. And the standing motion is to approve the proposed amendments. The commission's process does not allow to vote against for a motion to deny. So everything will be a motion to approve. And if a commissioner, or I'm sorry, in this case, a TAC member, wants to give a second for support of the proposed amendment, we'll ask for the second, and then the TAC will discuss and take the vote. If the TAC makes any amendments to the proposed modification, then they have to make sure that they address the findings, which I'll describe, the rationale and fiscal impact for the amendment, if there is any, which often case there isn't. It's simply, verbiage or something. But then we'll discuss the amendment separately, take a vote on the amendment, and go back to the modification as amended or not, as the case may be, based on the vote for the changes. We will have the text that's the proposed changes will be captured here so you can view them, and then we'll vote on the amendment and then the modification. An amendment requires a 75% favorable vote to be considered a recommendation to the commission. These will become the tax recommendations to the Florida Building Commission. Okay. Next, as I will go over the proposed amendment, I'm going to read this. I'm going to ask for a motion to approve this, and then a second, and then a vote on the amendment. I'm asking for a motion to recommend approval of the proposed amendments by the Technical Advisory Council. Ask them to be quiet. As the Technical Advisory Council committee, that is, based on the following findings. The amendment has a reasonable and substantial connection to the health, safety, and welfare of the general public, and the amendment does not degrade the effectiveness of the code and either strengthens or improves the code or provides for innovation or new technology by allowing equivalent or better products, methods, or systems of construction, and the amendment does not discriminate against products, methods, or systems of construction of demonstrated capabilities, and the amendment has the following fiscal impact. The fiscal impact of enforcement imposed upon local government is, as indicated by the tax review. The fiscal impact of compliance imposed upon property and building owners is, as indicated by the tax review. And the fiscal impact of compliance imposed upon industry is, as indicated by tax review. And the amendment benefits noted with regard to fiscal impact and efficacy outweigh the costs imposed. The amendment addresses a Florida-specific need, and the newest thing added to law. So this is in addition to what we've had in the past. Remember, this is what the law requires. This is not an option. is the amendment does not diminish requirements related to wind resistance or prevention of water intrusion contained in the code or its reference standards and criteria. I look for a motion to approve. Motion to second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, that's our standing motion to approve. So that's in place at all times during the course of this, of today's discussions regarding code administration TAC proposed modifications. Again, once we hear from the public proponent and opponents on that, I'll ask if there's a second. If a TAC member wishes to make a second for purposes of approval, you'll say, I'll second the motion, and then we'll discuss it, and then we'll vote it. If there's no second, it dies for lack of second. Moves on. It's defeated without that. Okay. Anybody? Any TAC members have any questions? No?
Yes. Just in general, first of all, does everybody have the files for the modifications that downloaded into your laptop? I know we have this CDs that we can give you. Also, we have it on flash where it can be uploaded into your laptop. Does everybody have the materials? Anybody needs it? You don't raise your hand if you need it. So we have two, and let's just take a few seconds. Give you this. We have CDs. We'll give you a CD, and you can just load that into your laptop. DJ, yeah, please help.
Okay, Mo, do you want to explain the materials real quick?
Yeah, if you finish with it and you don't need it, if you would give it back to us, I appreciate it. But if you want to take it, that's fine too.
Can we have an autograph copy?
As a souvenir, I'll be glad to sign it too. You know. Just to explain the tracking chart, I think the tracking chart should be familiar to you. We have used that in the prior proceedings and code change processes. The tracking chart is, as you see, is structured where it provides for the proponent's name in the first column, the code change number, and the comments if we received a comment on it, those mod numbers are linked to the actual mod. So if you click on the number of the mod, you should be able to see the actual mod modification. And those modifications will be taken in order as listed on the tracking charts. Do you have any questions on the tracking chart?
TAC members.
TAC members. Yeah. Audience. Yes.
Help me find that on this, Mo.
Okay. Admin, and if you want to, TAC members, if you have a problem finding the files, just raise your hand. I'll be glad to help you. It's under admin. Click admin, and that will take you to the files.
Thanks, Mo.
You're welcome. Thanks, Betty. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to start with Amendment 2253, amending 101.3, exempting prefabricated or pre-assembly don't walk-in family mausoleums and columbariums. Is anybody from the public? And there's also note. There's a comment. Is anybody from the public wish to speak in favor? You need to come on up right away, please. Folks, be ready on your amendments because we do unfortunately have a lot to do today. It's not just these. There's hundreds more after structural. So everybody, get ready. Who wants to speak either for or against this? Get in line.
If you'd... Welcome.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. My name is Corinne Albee. I'm with the Funeral and Cemetery Alliance.
Just pull the button on the top.
That one doesn't have one, I don't think.
Or
Can you hear me? Okay, my name is Corinne Alvey. I'm with the Florida Funeral and Cemetery Alliance. I'm not a contractor. And we are proposing that the installation of pre-assembled, prefabricated mausoleums and columbarium units be exempted from the permitting requirements that they now have to go through, as all other structures do. I have some pictures, in case someone doesn't understand what I'm talking about, of what these are.
Pass those down.
There are two types of pre-assembled mausoleum units. One is non-walk-in, which are the ones I've passed around now. These are generally 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 crypts of granite, that's solid granite, and they are usually trucked in and taken off of a truck with a crane and placed on a concrete slab or foundation. The other type is called a walk-in. We're not asking to exempt those. Those are where you would go inside a little alcove, and the crypts are on either side. So since the public walks into those, we did not propose to exempt them.
Okay. Does anybody else from the public wish to speak in favor? Does anybody wish to speak against? All right. Does any TAC member have any questions they'd like to ask the proponent before I ask for a second? Okay. Does anybody want to make a second for purposes of approval?
Second.
We have a second. Discussion.
I have a question on what could be the maximum size of these?
Well, I don't know what the maximum could be. Usually they're no more than about 4. Most people have a 2-crypt for a husband and a wife. There could be 4. I've got a picture of some that are 3 and 4, but the usual one is more like a 1 or 2. I really can't tell you. I don't know that for sure, because I guess they could be bigger. But I would say probably 4 is going to be the maximum a family could afford.
Is it? Any other questions? John?
Is this particular issue specific to Florida?
I don't know what other states have as far as building codes, but I know we have it here. I will also tell you that in the hurricanes, none of these things fell over or fell down. They're very, very sturdy as far as that goes. Historically, people just install them, in the cemetery, pours the concrete, and there's never been any problem that I'm aware of in other states.
Any other questions, TAC members? Armenio?
Yeah, my concern is the size of the unit. Just like you said, we opened the floodgates, and how do we limit the size? How high can this thing go, more than a one-story, or limited to a certain height, certain width?
That would be an area to explore if an outright exemption weren't granted, as far as the pounds per square inch maybe, or a height. Again, as I said, most people, these are family mausoleums, and they're generally costly, so they don't go that high in that many. If you go high in many, it's called a community mausoleum, and then it does come under all of the building requirements as a regular building. So we could look at that. We just didn't really want to have to get into that specific a thing of, like, if it's, you know, two or whatever. We just wanted to try and exempt them as a whole from the requirements.
Other discussion? George?
What's the difference between this one, this modification, and the next one?
Actually, they're all very similar. All of these sections referenced permitting or building, and I've never done this before, and so I went in and just amended everything that sort of referenced it. There's references to exempting it from the termite requirements and the soil foundation requirements. It all is the same concept that we're trying to exempt. So I don't know that there's anything that different in these others under administration.
It's the same issue, same deal. It's just exempting where it's mentioned in different sections of the code, like 101.3, 102.2, et cetera, et cetera. So whatever decision you make on one, it should probably be the same on the rest of them. It should
correct.
Be pretty much pro forma.
2225 is exempting from the termites, and the others are, I believe, one says they're exempting basically the permitting of the unit itself.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
Jeff, before we approve this, I don't know if it's possible to amend it or something, if we can limit this to maybe a four-person crypt or...
You can propose an amendment, and we'll discuss the amendment.
Yeah. Are you making? I have a concern that if you open up the floodgates, people are going to put in there 10 people, and you're going to have a building that is bigger than, you know, that.
So what would your proposed amendment be?
Well, I don't know. I would probably open it up for discussion, but I would probably limit it to four persons, and if that is okay with the...
I could accept that because, as I said, most of them are from one to four because it's for an individual family. When you get into more than that, it's generally more, like you said, into a building.
Right.
So, I mean, that would be a great relief to have four exempted.
I'd feel a lot more comfortable if we had four, a limit of four.
Okay, so is there a second to the amendment to limit to the four persons?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to second. We're discussing limiting the size to a four-person unit. Betty?
To bring the mod up.
I've got it right here.
Okay, yeah. Well, now we need to make sure we have a language there.
Do we also want to limit the height of this? I mean, four person, that still leaves an unlimited height, or does it?
Just capture it, Betty, under the underlying language. Just make a note here.
No, we need to change the language, Jim. Mm-hmm. We need the actual language.
Is there a height associated with four?
Here's units? Where you do. Where it says exceptions, for four units or less. Go back where it says exceptions, above.
What about one and two?
No, I think it has to be before three and four, Jeff. After.
All right, well, put it there. We'll figure it out later.
Or you could put it in three. Let me ask the proponent, is there a limit associated with the
it's
size?
The number four, Betty.
No.
All right.
I don't think you'd have four on top of each other. I do have a picture of one that is a three high. Most of them would be two and two. So however, whatever the height is as far as two crypts up, but it might have a pitched roof piece on it. So I don't really know what the height would be. I don't think it'd be a problem. I've never seen one that's four individual high, so I don't think the height is going to be a problem if you limit it to four.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the amendment, which is to limit it to four person. Any further discussion? Randy.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to, so I understand the clarification. These items have soil testing protection pads.
Now they're supposed to, yes. They're supposed to go through all of that, had termite treatment, soil foundation treatments, engineer drawings, everything a regular building has to have.
And you're seeking an exemption from that?
Correct.
That's what they're seeking the exemption from.
This is where I'm having difficulty. So what you're saying is no permits, no inspections?
Correct. It would be where the cemetery would take care of the concrete slab, and then these are trucked in and basically placed on top of that. And you're not talking about a very large foot area.
I understand that, but let's say we're talking about one of these three, four unit crypts. If I have no inspections or I have no permits, I could choose to just put it on some loose bricks if I wanted to and set it there. With no inspection, no permit, no one overseeing what the proprietor might decide to do to cut a corner. Am I reading this properly?
I suppose you could. I don't know how that works with the manufacturer delivering it. They usually tell us, you know, what to put it on as far as the slab goes.
So, I mean, in essence, you're basically saying zero regulation up to four years.
Correct.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the amendment only, which is to limit it to four-person size. All in favor, raise your hands. One, two, three. All opposed?
Four.
Oh, you're for it? Okay, hold your hands up high, please, folks. I need to get a good count. One, two, three, four in favor. Opposed? Two. 4-2. That fails. Okay, going back to the amendment as originally written, which is without the without this. Any further discussion?
Well, I'd have to say I'm not in favor of no regulation of this particular part of the of structures. I don't really see a need for an exemption. I don't think it's for a specific issue either.
Would it be possible to include having the foundation, an inspection of the pouring of the foundation without having to have the engineered drawings and the soil testing and the termite treatment and all those other things, where it's just an inspection of, because the only thing that we are doing is the concrete slab. The rest is already manufactured and installed. What is there to...
Well, I think part of the problem is when these things fail and someone, a proprietor, doesn't do his job right and the thing sinks into the ground, you're still going to have customers, consumers, loved ones that are going to be irritated, and they're going to be looking to government to say what went wrong.
Right.
We're
going to
say, well, we washed our hands
Sorry.
Of it. So I just don't think it can go without any regulation. As open-ended as it is, it needs a lot of work and maybe come back at another time.
Okay, any further discussion from TAC members only? Bill.
Just a question. Typically, these are stone granite, something like that. Is that always the case? I believe I've seen some out there that were actually site constructed.
We're not asking for the site constructed ones that aren't prefabricated or pre-cut. You can build them on site. And generally, the walk-ins are the ones that you build on site, and we're not asking to exempt them.
These are prefabricated, is his limitation.
Okay. May I make one comment to answer his question? Oh, I'm sorry. You through?
It's not going to waste it.
Cemeteries under the state of Florida are regulated by the Division of Finances, and we have to have perpetual care in our cemeteries, and that would take care of the problem if they sunk. We would be told by the state to fix it. We would also have families that we would have to deal with. So if one of them did sink or whatever, we would be responsible for making that right.
Okay. All right, any further discussion? All in favor of the proposed amendment, raise your hands. One. All opposed? Motion fails. Sorry. Okay, moving right along. I mean, the next one is... Ma'am, would you be willing to withdraw your other amendments?
As it relates to this particular issue, yes. I have one other issue that's going to come up
so
about something.
Let's discuss
else.
Which ones they are. 2254, is one that you'd want exempt, right? The next one, 2254?
Right.
So would you make that statement, please?
2254, 2204, 2223.
Wait a minute.
No, I'm talking... Please,
I'm sorry,
I'll get it. Here's what you would do. On Amendment 2254, if you would make the statement that Corinne Olvey withdraws this amendment.
Yes, Corinne Olvey withdraws this amendment.
Okay, so Amendment 2254 is withdrawn. Thank you. Okay. I guess we could go through them, or we could just go in order and have her come back up each time.
I think let's go through them.
In please. Order?
Yes.
All right. Ma'am, if you wouldn't mind just sort of staying close by. We have one more before your next one. Okay, we have an amendment, which is 2637, Kurt Roper, amending 104.11.2, add language to require documentation of design pressure ratings.
Good morning. My name is Kurt Roper with Ingersoll Rand, and I'd like to wait till we get the text up on the screen, Mr. Chairman, if we could.
Sure.
Of course, these folks do have it, though.
The proposed change seeks to address a gap in the code relative to opening protectives that are constructed from rated components. Under the current structure of the code, there's no validation that an assembly meets the required design pressure. The addition of the proposed language provides the building official with documentation of the assembly's design pressure when that assembly is constructed of rated components.
Okay. Does anybody else wish to speak in favor? Does anybody wish to speak against?
Joe Belcher, representing the International Hurricane Protection Association. I'm not sure that the code does not already talk about the design pressure for, I assume you're talking about impact-resistive coverings, right? Hurricane type?
I'm talking about, Mr. Belcher, any product rated to ANSI A250-13, specific to A250-13.
Which would be?
Which is components for opening protectives of side hinge doors.
Okay. No objection.
Okay. Sounds like there's no... Anybody else wish to speak against? Come on up.
Good morning, gentlemen. Bud Bully from the Canadian Steel Door
Manufacturers. Could you use the mic, Bud, please?
Yeah. Bud Bully from the Canadian Steel Door Manufacturers Association and the Hollow Metal Manufacturers Association. Our problem with the proposal is that it's very vague. The issue of providing or the building official knowing or being provided with the specifics, or it's very vague. That's the problem. What is to be provided to the building official? Number two, the standard itself was developed under the SDI and the BMHA banner as an ANSI standard, and a series of round-robin tests were done to ensure that the componentry that it is provided, that is tested to those the qualified levels, do in fact work together in a finished unit. So it puts a burden on the building official as to what is it he's supposed to be accepting as information when the product is labeled. Generally, these products come under either a UL or an ITS type label program. So they do come marked as windstorm resistant. The listings that are published by UL and ITS have all of the information with respect to design load, impact rating, and what test standards they are appropriate to. And for that reason, we don't think it brings anything to the code other than some more confusion, and that's something we really don't need at this point in time.
Okay. Anybody else in the public wish to speak against? Okay. Would the proponent like one opportunity for rebuttal?
Yes, I would. To address a couple of points very, very briefly, it does not provide any burden to the building official. It provides a building official documentation that helps them ensure the integrity of the opening. The gap that this seeks to address, today manufacturers, myself included, can go out and test components. Those components can be compiled, assembled, and installed by anyone. There is no validation of the design pressure of that final assembly. If you're familiar with constructing openings to assembly approvals or NOAs, you will know that each specific iteration has been reviewed by a PE and the design pressure is validated. When a compilation of components is put together in the field, there is no validation whatsoever that that final compilation meets the required design pressure. That is the gap in ANSI A250-13 and the current code.
Okay, would the opponent like one brief rebuttal opportunity?
Yeah, the concept that assemblies are verified and validated is not entirely correct. There are plenty of pieces of hardware today that are not under any quality assurance program that are in assemblies from a commercial door and frame standpoint. The manufacturer of the door could literally pick up from Home Depot on his way to the certified lab the latching hardware and the hinging and gasketing systems that he wishes to use, submit to that lab, do his testing, get a test report, do an NOA, whichever method he's utilizing, and that hardware, in fact, is not necessarily under any follow-up or quality assurance program. The installation that was brought to your attention, the same people that are installing the assemblies, quote-unquote, are installing the components, and the components are labeled. They are labeled by entities such as UL and ITS. They do come with markings on the products. The door itself, the frame itself, both come with a metal label or Mylar label, similar to a fire door, and they do indicate what the rating of the product is from a PSF standpoint and from an impact rating standpoint. And the UL and ITS listings are very explicit as to what the design ratings for each of the components tested under A250-13 do achieve.
Okay. All right. Does any TAC member wish to make a second for purposes of approval? You want to ask a question?
No second.
We have a second. Discussion.
I have some comments. Okay. Three questions and a comment. I agree with the intended purpose. However, with regard to the wording of inserting the word building official in there, I mean, you don't need to insert the word building official to accomplish a code requirement. You can just state the code requirement. The building official has the ultimate responsibility to enforce all the provisions of the code, and you don't have to insert building official every time you want to have a code requirement. So that's an unnecessary insertion there. Also, I don't think this, as worded, accomplishes the intended purpose. It says, when opening protectives are comprised of components tested to ASE 250-13, the building official shall require sufficient evidence and proof be submitted to substantiate the resultant design pressure rating. All that's saying is that you shall say what it is. It's not saying that you meet any standard or requirement, so I don't think it accomplished the intended purpose. Perhaps there may or may not be a need to have such a provision, but this, as worded, doesn't seem to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, and some of the wording and phraseology in it is not applicable to a code change that I can see.
Okay, any other discussion from TAC members? Okay, all in favor of the amendment, raise your hands. Zero. All opposed, say aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous. Okay. Motion fails. We've got six, right? One, two, three, six. Okay, next is if Mrs. or Ms. Corrine Olivey would come back forward, please. This is 2222 and 2204, exempting prefabricated again, 2222 and 2204.
Which I'll withdraw.
Okay.
I have 2223, which I'll withdraw.
Okay, so the proponent has withdrawn
2204.
2204.
2223.
2223.
I don't believe 2222. I don't know what that is.
All right. Well, it's just in our chart.
Okay.
Does anybody want to speak on 2222? It must be the same one, Mo. Is that right?
Well, we have a 22.
What is? I just don't have it with me.
We can vote it if you guys can vote.
Is it the same thing about exempting it from the permitting?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
okay,
it is.
Then I would just withdraw that at this time.
All right, 2222 is withdrawn. Okay, so what's been withdrawn is 2222, 2204, and 2223. Next, we'll take up 2684. It's Joe Belcher. This is amending. This is adds impact-resistant coverings to permit, add definition of impact-resistant coverings. It doesn't say what section this is, but anyway. Maybe it's 105.1. 105.1, okay.
Can I ask Joe, one question. Can I ask Joe?
Go ahead.
Joe, we have a number of mods and comments on the subject. Can you confirm which one you think is the right one to use?
None of the comments were mine. The comments, there were two comments that I saw that were from Bob Harrell suggesting that we add definitions for impact resistant coverings. I don't mind perhaps doing that in the next public comment period. We talked about it. Joe Belcher, by the way, IHPA, International Hurricane Protection Association. We did talk about trying to define these coverings, impact resistant coverings, but it seems like every day there's some new product coming out. And you know how you guys have been around. You know how it gets when you start trying to define something. If you're not sufficiently broad, you're going to leave something out. And if you're too broad, then it doesn't do any good anyway. So we figured everybody pretty much understands what an impact-resistant covering is. It's, you know, got to pass the 2x4, fired at it test, and all those sorts of things. So,
right, so you're actually just suggesting that we approve 2684. The other two are comments. They can take them or not, and you might make a comment later during
the... Correct. All right. And all the comments were, they didn't give a definition. They just suggested we do a definition. Okay. So, and I don't want to belabor the issue. We all know, and the legislature told us in January how important protecting openings on structures are. We have a major code change that was put together by a work group appointed by the commission at the request of the building officials to develop labeling requirements for impact-resistant covering items that you'll be hearing, or the structural tack will be hearing, but since it's coming from a work group, I'm sure it'll be approved. And it's just, you know, we have jurisdictions out there that don't require any permits. They don't require any, they have no inspections on these things. I've actually been out post-hurricane investigations and seen a very nice shutter system attached into the finished drywall inside the opening with those little half-inch plastic anchors that you get like when you buy a picture frame or something like that. That was the attachment for the hurricane shutters. So we have nobody looking at them. And what we're trying to do is get a permit requirement, and we have another change right immediately following this will require inspection. And I'll just answer any questions.
Sure. Anybody else in the public wish to speak in favor? If you'd just be brief and say you agree or add new points, if you would.
Bob Boyer, Building Officials Association of Florida Code Development Committee. We support this. Okay.